So I read this just a couple months ago that Greyhound had this really cool offer during Christmas that they were going to give a free bus ticket to any runaway that wanted to go home for Christmas. Isn't that cool? That Greyhound was saying, listen, we realize that this is a real need, and we want to take deliberate actions to impact people's lives. I mean, that's the series that we're in right now. We are in a series called My Impact. And so if we look at Greyhound in comparison to the series that we've been in the last 5 weeks, we said that impact is investment. Well, Greyhound invested in people. They gave pieces, little tickets, right? They gave tickets away to anyone who wanted to come. So they made an investment. It was consistent with their mission. Their mission was transportation. Amen. Is that what Greyhound does? They transport people to places. And so this is consistent with their mission. If they want to impact people, they have an investment they make. They have a mission. And the third thing we talked about is people. We impact people. They were not impacting themselves. This was not for their benefit. This was to impact people, other people, people that they didn't even know, so that they could be connected with loved ones at Christmas. And then we said 2 weeks ago that an impact involves adventure, and that involves faith. And Greyhound showed faith that they were going to just make an open-ended invitation that anybody that wanted to go home for Christmas could go home. And then last week, we talked about cause. And the cause needs to be specific. In the impact that you and I are making, that cause has to be specific. And we know that through this Greyhound initiative, their cause was reuniting people. And so we see in the secular world that companies understand impact. And so, church, they stole that idea from Jesus. Right? We are called to have impact. And so investment, mission, people, adventure, cause. And we've come to the final week. And the final facet to our impact is a T. And many of you thought it was tithing, and I was going to stand up here and beg you for your money. It's actually timing, not tithing. If we're going to have an impact, we need to understand that today is the day for kingdom impact. Yesterday and tomorrow are the enemies of impact. I already did it, or I plan to do it, have no value today. Today is the present opportunity. Today is the immediacy. Today is proximity to impact. Yesterday is the newspaper. It has information, sure, but it has no impact. Activities in the past do not exempt you and I from action in the present. See, I know we live in a culture that longs for retirement. I'm going to put all this work in. I'm going to do, and I'm going to get to a point in my life where I don't have to do it anymore. That's not consistent with kingdom impact. We never get to the point where we've done it enough and that it can be in the past tense. And now, in the present, I don't have to do anything. That's not consistent and compatible with kingdom impact. So yesterday's the newspaper. Tomorrow is the crystal ball. We know what the Bible says about tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One author said it this way: tomorrow cannot be found on God's calendar. Tomorrow is the road that leads to the town called Never. Tomorrow is the locked door that shuts people out of heaven. Those who expect to repent tomorrow usually die today. Don't count on tomorrow. Today is the best and only preparation for tomorrow. You cannot prepare for tomorrow, tomorrow. You cannot improve tomorrow, tomorrow. Today is the only opportunity any of us have to impact tomorrow or even redeem or change or continue yesterday. Hey, I worked out yesterday. I'm going to work out tomorrow. What kind of results is that going to bring? I worked out today. I'm going to take action tomorrow. I took action yesterday. Well, what kind of results does that bring? Actions today. Today offers us 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 86,000 seconds of impact moments. A gift from God. Psalm 118:24 in the King James. These newfangled new translations change the words of the words that we remember as kids. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what the Bible says. The Bible understands the power and the value of today. The new NIV says it this way. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. I just realized that I didn't let you read the scripture. I'm sorry. I'm going to read it. Gary was supposed to read the scripture. I was so eager to come preach and I didn't let him read it. If this is your first week here at Northway, I make a lot of mistakes. So there's this children's author that writes novels. His name is Jerry Spinelli. And he says it this way. Live today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, just today. Inhabit your moments. Don't rent them out to tomorrow. Today is calling you to you, trying to get your attention, but you're stuck on tomorrow. And today trickles away like water down a drain. You wake up the next morning and that today you wasted is gone forever. It's now yesterday. Some of those moments may have had wonderful things in store for you, but now you'll never know. Why don't you come and read the scripture? James chapter 4. Do you have it? You want me to read it? Okay. It's on the screen. All right.
Hello, it's coming, okay. All right, follow along. It's through the words and the spirit of how your words inhabit. So now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
So James is the brother of Jesus. And what he's doing here in this chapter 4, he is actually sharing about self-confidence. He's warning against self-confidence. He's saying, listen, many of you are planning without God. And what Francis Chan calls this is practical atheists. None of us in this room would say we're atheists. None of us would say that we don't believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, why would you be here unless you're trying to please your wife or score points with a girl or something? So why would we be practical atheists? If we believe in God, why then would we make many plans without God. It's inconsistent with general or genuine saving faith. And so what James is saying here in verse 13, he's saying, now listen. Even in his call to listen, there's urgency for today. Now listen. There's those of you, you who say, there were some in James's day, and maybe there's some among us today, that we have this great plan. We're saying to ourselves, I have plans. I got plans. I'm going to go to this certain place. I'm going to do it for a certain time, and I have this certain purpose. It's basically practical atheism. Plans without God. We're worse than just making plans. It's presumptions. It's arrogance. It's foolish. I mean, what is presumption? It's a superficial design for action built on partial knowledge, inadequate objectives, and questionable motives. Now, anything without the sovereign God as part of it, wouldn't that qualify as partial knowledge? Only God knows. Inadequate objectives. If we're not doing it in light of what God has called us to do, it's an inadequate objective. Questionable motives. If we're trying to draw attention to ourselves, that might qualify as questionable motives. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course. But what? The Lord establishes their steps. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of yesterday, of tomorrow. No, the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So what we need to see, that thing that is running behind James's words here, James is talking about our making plans. But what's running behind that, and what we cannot miss, church, is that there is our timing that has to be within the framework of God's timing. Amen? That there is some time left, God's plan for the whole. James is speaking to each of us about our timing of kingdom impact within the larger framework of God's timing for the world. Jonathan Edwards, one of the great American theologians, said this, oh Lord, please stamp eternity on my eyeballs. He wanted everything he did to have the perspective of eternity. He didn't want to do any one thing without the understanding that this is going to impact God's kingdom. We know nothing or very little about the future. Only God knows. And so in verse 14, when James says that there are people that are planning without God, without the urgency of today, he's wondering, the future, even the near future, is so uncertain. How can we make plans? Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. The reality, friends, is that our life cannot be overly planned, because it's part of the designer's design is that he's in control. I mean, James goes as far as to say that we are a mist here today and gone tomorrow. Appears then is gone, seems light and temporary. But here's the thing about mists. M-I-S-T, that I don't want you to miss, M-I-S-S. In the appropriate circumstance, mists are very important. I want to take you back to that amusement park that you wish you never took your kids to. It's 150 degrees, and you just got off the roller coaster, and you're about sick to your stomach, and you're walking, and you see a what? A mister. You know that little tube that has holes cut in it, and there's just this little mist coming down. And what do? You go into the mist, and that mist covers you, and you're satisfied. So he's not saying that a mist is not important, or a mist is not effective. He's saying, listen, a mist is here today and gone tomorrow, so it better fulfill its purpose. It's only temporary, friends. In light of eternity, our lifespan is a blink. And so in that blink, we need to have kingdom impact. A puff of smoke, a breath, a blade of grass, a cloud, a flyer, a flower. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Our time is brief. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. We must make each day count for kingdom impact. Letting go of God's good for God's best. God's priorities on purpose over the randomness of life's activity. I love, one of my favorite words in the Bible is redeem. Because I've been redeemed. And he says that we can redeem our time. Do you know what the word redeem is? In the Greek, the word redeem is go to the marketplace. Buy out of the marketplace. That's what it means to redeem. That the image in the Greek is that someone would go into the marketplace and take the opportunity to get all the bargains. The things that are right there, right now for the buying. That's what it means to redeem. You go into the marketplace and you take advantage of the opportunity that we live in the present. Our lifestyle, our moment by moment practice is buying up the strategic opportunities which God places on our path. That's what redeeming the time is, that you go into a day and you see the opportunities that God has given you and you seize them. You walk wisely in God's spirit, spiritually alert to the divine opportunities at the intentional intersections. It's not just an encounter in time, but opportunities to impact eternity. Time is actually better translated opportunity. That's what time is. It's a fixed, defined period during which something can be accomplished that cannot be accomplished when the specific period passes. And we know this. We live in this idea. When does the tree bear fruit? It bears fruit when? In the spring. But if you wait to the heat of the summer or the cool of the autumn, you will get no fruit. It comes at an opportunity. Seize the day, carpe diem, because tempus fugit. We know carpe diem. We don't know tempus fugit. Seize the day because time flies. Tempus fugit is Latin for time flies. Seize the day because time flies. Horace Mann said, lost yesterday somewhere between sunrise and sunset. Two golden hours, each set with 60 diamond minutes. Church, we lose today somewhere between sunset, sun up and sundown. What I want to share with you, if you're sleeping, wake up. Today is ripe for kingdom impact. I'm just full of analogies today. There was another one I read this week that talked about another Latin term, talked about all ob portus. And what that means is that before there were modern day harbors, that ships would have to wait for the tide to come in so that they could come into port. And they waited for that exact opportunity to ride the tide in. And if they weren't ready and they missed the opportunity of the tide, they had to wait for the next one. And that's what kingdom impact is. We need to seize the opportunities. The tide is rising today. I mean, have you ever thought about today? It's a strange commodity. You can't save it. You can't retrieve it. You can't relive it. You can't stretch it. You can't borrow it. You can't loan it. You can't stop it. You can't store it. The only two things you can do is use it or lose it. Paul knew this. In Galatians 6:10, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to Northway Community Church. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards the people that live next to you. Make the most of every opportunity. So back to the James passage in verse 15. James is talking prior to 15. He's saying, listen, all this planning without God, why are you doing that? Life is so brief. He says in verse 15, you should say, those of you who are saying, I'm going to do this for this along a period of time for this reason. He said, no, you should say in verse 15, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this or that. And I'm not saying you have to wake up every morning and say, if it's the Lord's will, I will do this or do that. But what I want, what I desire, what I think the Bible says is that we need to live with that as a guiding principle every day. If it's the Lord's will. Are you and I willing to submit to the plans of the Lord Jesus? Because what James says in verse 16, or 6, or 16, 16. Can we go to 16? Yes. As it is, you are full of your grandiose selves. All such vaunting, wow, self-importance is evil. He just calls it for what it is. Everything else is boasting and evil. Look what I can do. Look what I plan to do. All of those, both of those are not doing. Talking about what you used to do and talking about what you're capable of doing is not doing. And so now James, in verse 17, just starts getting downright serious. James has a way of just really putting it right to us. And in verse 17, he just says, listen, in fact, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, that for you is evil. Now, that's not fair. Why is he saying that? I mean, come on, I know Jesus and I never killed anybody. But what he says is that any of you, no one excluded, knows the good, knows the impact that you ought to be doing and you're not doing it. I have a word for that. In that translation, it calls it evil. In the other translation, it calls it sin. Sin. Don't you think that's a little extreme? And so what he's saying is, listen, friends, there are sins of commission. You know, you and I, we know our sins of commission. When we flagrantly hurt somebody, or we do something we're not supposed to do, that's a sin of commission. We know that. We hear sermons all the way about that. Don't do that. Don't do this. Be nice to this person. Don't do that. Those are sins of commission. The other issue that James is pointing out in James chapter 4 are sins of omission. Refusing to do what you know is right. Now, this is a little bit more serious. This is a little bit more uncomfortable for us. It's harder to see. It's more subtle. But James seems to think it's just as harmful. Well, Pastor, when I have more time, I mean, when I have a little bit more money, I mean, when I'm around different people, I mean, the next time, I mean, when it's easier. Friends, the question that we have to consider today Are you aware of some opportunity God wants you to seize or impact today? What is holding you back from obeying Him today? Kingdom impact, my impact, involves timing. And that timing is today. Last scripture, Psalm 90, verse 12 says this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Guess what? You don't have to be good at counting. You only have to go to one. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. One. Sun goes down, sun comes up. One. You don't have to go past one. Today is the day of kingdom impact. I read a story, and this, I promise, this is my last story. So I have a story and an illustration, and then I'm sitting down. Swedish chemist Alfred Nobel awoke one morning and read his own obituary in a local newspaper. It read this: Alfred Nobel, an inventor of dynamite who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before. And he died a very rich man. The only problem was Alfred wasn't dead. And so he woke up in the morning and figured out that it was his brother that had died. And the newspaper reporter botched the epitaph. Nobel, who decided he wanted to be remembered for something different, as a result, he initiated the Nobel Peace Prize to reward individuals who foster peace. And he had a really great quote. He said this: every man ought to have a chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one. Friends, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm on the average age of this room. That hurts my feelings, because I really want to be way younger than that. But if I'm in the average age of this room, we all have more time to rewrite it. So I'm going to give you a check for $200. I need a piece of paper, babe. Just rip a piece of paper. Oh, I'll take this. This is good. Oh, no. That's your... And I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you this. So what I've done is that I've given $200 away to three different people in this room. One, who has the check? Stand up. He has a $200 check that's voided. Dave has a $200 check that says, I owe you $200. Michelle has $200. Yesterday, tomorrow, today. We're not writing checks from yesterday. We're not telling people we owe them. We're saying, listen, today's the day. Today's the day. I'm going to seize today. We won't have groceries if I let you eat. Remember, keep this here. I mean, you know what I mean. That's not true. I lied. We already bought groceries. I don't know what we were going to use this money for. It's for something. I can guarantee you this. It won't stay in my pocket very long. But here's the thing, friends. It's 11:01. The roast is fine. The pizza hasn't even been ordered. The hoagies are okay. They're not going to go stale. So if you're coming to our house, they're still fresh. So you can stay with me for 5 more minutes. I learned a lot about today this week. I studied today all week long. And I realized the huge difference between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Today is the day for kingdom impact. Amen? Amen. Amen. Worship team, come back. As the worship team's coming back, I wonder this morning if each and every one of us can make a commitment to Christ today. In most weeks, I the emphasis is on Christ commitment. And I, that's still the truth today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for you. And when he went on the cross, he died for your sins, your mistakes, your shame, your guilt, your failures. And if we're sorry about what we've done wrong, and we recognize that Jesus Christ is the one who died for us, if you recognize that, you'd be thankful for it. Sorry, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please come into my life and make me new. That's what a commitment to Christ is today. And if you're here today and you've never made that commitment to Christ, we want you to know that we believe it is, it's four words that start your relationship with Jesus. Sorry, thank you, please. If you're here today and you made a commitment to Christ a long time ago, but you just kind of walked away, or you just kind of, it's become stale, and you feel like you need to recommit, you need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, today I say yes to you. I commit my life to you today. I want you to do that today. But there's a third group that I want to talk to. And I'm assuming, which you should probably not assume, but I'm assuming that most of the room would be in this third group. And that is, the emphasis needs to be on today. Can you commit to Jesus today that you're going to make an impact for him today? Well, Pastor, it's Sunday. I won't see any of my coworkers today. Or it's Sunday. I take a nap on Sunday. Or it's Sunday. It's Sun. Can you make an impact today? Because guess what? In 13 hours, guess what it's going to be? It's going to be today. Right? Don't worry about the today that's 13 hours from now. Today is today. We don't know if we're going to get another today in 13 hours. But we've got this today. Will you commit to Jesus and to his kingdom impact today? Let's sing. And as we're singing,